First Potawatomi Sportsbook Football Monday of the season. We want to hear from you as well. We'll be joining you every Monday here from Potawatomi Sportsbook. What a fantastic location, by the way. They have got a 2,000-square-foot video wall behind us, Gary. So if you want to see the game, whatever game it is, you're going to see the game here. And they've got a good VIP deck, great restaurant. We had some food here earlier. They got a wonderful bar. Really a cool setup just to hang out.
No, it really is. And I think that's one of the advantages that you have when you come here. And we talk, and the food is great, right? Drinks are great. I mean, what a better way to spend a day right here.
And we did notice bread pudding on the dessert menu, which is very important.
Well, it's got a different twist, though.
A little bit, yes. It was like a maple
pecan.
Pecan, that sounds
good.
And
I'm from Georgia, so pecans, you know, me, Jimmy Carter, we kind of hang out together.
All right, a little bit of breaking news heading into Monday Night Football with the Jets and 49ers. Christian McCaffrey inactive. For those of you with a interest in such things,
fantasy football, that's a big deal.
May need to adjust your roster here. Christian McCaffrey is out. Jason Wilde is in, as in on our show. He's going to join us every Monday here on the program. Welcome, Wilde. Great to have you again.
Can't wait to come down and have the bread pudding, and maybe they can. I don't know if they have the same salmon that they had at Rock and Brews, but I always enjoyed that when I would come down and see you guys. So thanks for having me. Great to be back for another year and excited to see the new sports book. I haven't been in it yet, but I've heard nothing but rave reviews.
It is fantastic. Yes, we'd love to have you down. There's a seat for you. I can promise you that. You're a great parser of words, Jason. Among your many skills and gifts as a wonderful beat writer covering the Packers and now as host of Wilde and Tausch, you understand the ins and outs of humans very, very well, especially humans you get to know. So when you hear Matt LaFleur say that Malik Willis is the starter, that if Jordan Love is cleared, you know, they'll get him back. He didn't rule him out necessarily for Sunday, at least not what he said. And also, the Packers courted no additional veteran quarterbacks. Apparently, they did not kick the tires on any veteran quarterback since Love's injury. How do you piece all of it together in what Matt LaFleur had to say?
Yeah, there was a lot there. And I was a little perplexed by the approach that Matt took, only because if you're going to try and keep the Colts guessing, I feel like everybody and their brother knows that Jordan Love's not playing on Sunday. Like, you notice he never said what the chances are. He goes into a whole spiel about how I wouldn't put a percentage on it and all this other stuff. The bottom line is, you know, he didn't lie, right? He did not lie. If he's not cleared, Malik will start. So that's all true. He's not going to get cleared because I'm way too familiar with Doc McKenzie. I've not seen Jordan Love's MRI. I saw Matty Wilde's MRI today, and I saw Dr. McKenzie, and I know how careful he is with a 14-year-old cross-country runner. So I think with a $220 million NFL quarterback, he will be even more cautious. I did joke that I'm the only person who works inside Lambeau Field who had somebody else's knee that was more important to him than Jordan Love's. But look, he is clearly trying to play a little bit of a game here. But what I don't understand is, if you're going to play a game, don't you play the game of, we might go with Malik, we might go with Sean Clifford. Like, we haven't really decided yet. Like, to me, that's the game you play if you're trying to keep the Colts guessing. He chose not to do that. He made a very clear statement that Malik Willis will start if Jordan Love does not, and I would say when Jordan Love does not. But, and the other part of this, I'm sorry, I have too much respect for Diana Rossini. I find, parsing words, I find it very hard to believe that they didn't at least inquire about whether or not Ryan Tannehill would be interested in talking about the possibility of coming to Green Bay. Do I think they negotiated with him? Do I think they tried to sign him? I don't. But he says in his answer that you investigate every avenue. So if you investigate every avenue, you at least called and said, hey, would you guys be interested in discussing this? And then they say no, and then you get the answer you did. So I find it very hard to believe that there was not even a cursory call placed to Ryan Tannehill or his agents.
Well, I mean, Jason, that's where it gets to one of the things that I know you don't like about the Packers organization is the silos. I mean, you can't step on Goody's feet there, right? I mean, you kind of got to be careful of what you're saying. And he may know some inside information with Ryan Tannehill, but he's not at liberty to even speak on that because that's in a different silo.
Or, you know, and that's even though, and you played in the league, you know this, and you played in the league in a time where they definitely didn't care about your feelings.
Right.
But we play in a different era. And maybe part of this is we don't want Malik Willis to know that we inquired about the guy that he played behind in Tennessee to see if he was available, even though we brought him in to be on our team, right? Like, that's a part of it, too. The bottom line is if Goody is going in, he has always told us he's going to explore everything, that if he didn't explore that or at least inquire about the possibility, then he wasn't doing his job. And I don't think Goody fails to do his job.
So let's look at this from the standpoint of bringing a veteran in, right? Let's say you do bring in Ryan Tannehill. I would say he's maybe the most qualified of those who are available.
Sure.
I don't think Phillip Rivers is interested in playing. P.J. Walker just isn't that good. Neither is Trevor Siemian. And Gary informed me that Don Majkowski recently had back surgery, so he is also out.
But I hear that's going around on those old-timers.
Yes, yeah, it does happen from time to time. You're right. So let's say it is Ryan Tannehill. If I'm Ryan Tannehill, I'm looking to get back into a situation where I'm not just needed for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. And one of the other things I took from Matt LaFleur, who never said the initials or letters MCL today, but he did attack the IR question, and it very clearly the Packers have no intention of putting Jordan Love on IR for now. If this were more of a season-long issue, or even half a season, I would think it's maybe negligent, Jason, to not get in a little deeper in those conversations. But on Ryan Tannehill's side, I can't imagine he'd have a lot of interest in coming back for 3 weeks. Maybe he'd like to bide his time. He's made his millions. Maybe for a stretch run in the playoffs or something like that. Like, there's another side to the discussion beyond what the Packers might want.
Right, and I think that's what gives them the cover to claim that they never even asked. Because he probably said, no, I'm not interested in that situation, so don't even bother to pursue me, right? Like, if I'm him, and apparently, I didn't realize this, apparently he lives in the Bahamas.
Okay.
Sounds nice. I love the Green Bay Fox Cities area, personally. I love that every, you know, whether it's, no matter where I am, I'm always 15 minutes from wherever I need to go. I don't really want to live in the Bahamas. But if he and his wife are happy there, you're not leaving there to spend a month in Green Bay, right? And then go back. Then, when Love is healthy, either be re-released or carry a clipboard, right? I just don't think he'd be interested in that. Now, the guy that I thought of who stayed out of football last year, which would have allowed his body to recover nicely, was Matt Ryan, who I know was not very good during the final season he had with the Colts, who they play on Sunday. But I also think, you know, with a year off of football, and he did that because if he would have played for anybody else, it would have offset with the money that the Colts owed him. So he basically would have played for somebody else for free last year. He's played in Matt LaFleur's system. He's had Matt LaFleur as his coach. Like, there's no reason to pursue him out of the CBS booth now. But if for some reason catastrophe hit and Love returns and then gets hurt more severely, that would be the guy I would call, even more so than Tannehill, even though Tannehill was in the league more recently.
I know we're talking quarterbacks, but aren't you surprised a little bit about the Sean Clifford and the Malik Willis in the hierarchy on how they chose Malik to be the backup when he had only been here, what, a little bit over a week or so? And when, quite frankly, Sean Clifford probably has more knowledge of the playbook than what Malik Willis has. I mean, that caught me by surprise.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting, Gary, kind of the corner they painted themselves into, because you were talking about silos earlier, right? Like, I thought it was really interesting after they traded for Malik Willis, Goody talked the next day and basically said he'll be the backup. Matt LaFleur talked shortly thereafter and basically said, well, we have to see, you know, how quickly he can pick up our playbook and everything else. So it was almost as if Sean Clifford was maybe the head coach's preference, and the coach and the general manager's preference was for it to be Malik Willis, who he traded for. Now, I would also add this. Goody flat out said publicly that the two quarterbacks that they had in camp behind Love were, quote, underwhelming. I think it's pretty hard to be able to call a guy underwhelming and then say, hey, we're going to say to Malik Willis, hey, we're really happy to have you. We're glad we traded for you. We think you got a lot of potential. But we're going to go with the guy that the GM said was underwhelming in camp instead of playing you now that we need the backup to play. That's a pretty tough sell.
It is.
So Malik Willis in line to start on Sunday at home against the Indianapolis Colts. As you went through Wilde and Tausch today, Jason, I know you guys typically go through your positives and negatives from the game that was. How did you sort that out? Give us a couple of positives, a couple things that you thought are in need of improvement.
So I thought, for me anyway, the biggest negative, and look, you know, again, this is a very different league than the one that Gary played in when he was, you know, when he was a starter and the starters were playing, you know, almost the whole game or at least well into the third quarter of the third preseason game. I don't know, you played with like Bart Starr, so you had like six preseason games. But,
yeah, exactly.
I wasn't surprised at all that they gave up points to a really good offense. I wasn't surprised that their tackling wasn't great, because when you play eight snaps of game action, that's what you get from a tackling perspective and a communication perspective, et cetera. What surprised me and what would have disappointed me or been my negative if I was a Packers fan was that how on earth do you not find, and I know they got hosed on one call on Jair, but you cannot allow an offense when you're only down two, to go 16 plays, 67 yards, 7.5 minutes, and so the next time your offense has the football, there's 27 seconds left. You just can't do that. And for them to not get a stop at any point on that drive, I thought was pretty pathetic. And if you know, I remember remarking as the game was going on to my television, well, Joe Barry's defense could have done that. Right? So that would I say was my biggest disappointment. And frankly, you look at what they did offensively. I mean, for as many opportunities as they squandered, they still had every opportunity to win that game. And I see that as a positive more than as a negative.
Well, I thought both teams were sloppy. I mean, the Eagles
no
were equally as bad as the Packers. And I would agree with you. I think this is the new NFL. I mean, I saw a couple games this over the weekend, the Chiefs, they're really good. And the Lions last night, they took that ball down in overtime, just stuffed it down their throat. I go, oh my goodness, they're pretty good. But when you look at the Packers, they're relatively still young. They still don't know what they don't know. The defense is relatively new with all young players, new defensive scheme. I still think Quay Walker is playing out of position. I think he should be like on the weak side or the wide side and let him go run and see and hit the ball. I think he's pigeonholed in the middle. I don't really think he's an inside backer, so they got to figure all that out. I think there's some young linebackers that probably can play and play a little bit more that can help this defense. So I still think the Packers, to me, is 1 out of 17. I think you'll still see this team get better if you have a healthy Jordan Love. I'm not sure I'm buying the Malik Willis or the Sean Clifford deal.
You would say, what you talking about, Willis? I agree with you. I think Edgerrin Cooper's going to play more. I think you'll probably see Tyron Hopper play some. I still do value veteran experience, and so you know, I thought Eric Wilson, for the minimal number of snaps that he played, is kind of that third guy in that 4-3 that they sub out a lot that still is serviceable. But you're right. I mean, again, I want Quay Walker to be much better. Like, I like
him.
I think he's gotten a bad rap for, you know, because he obviously did a couple knuckleheaded things as a rookie. I think he's really conscientious and really cares about it, but he's got to be a difference maker. You don't draft guys in the first round to be just guys. And he's more often than not kind of just a guy at this point. And so, you know, I would think that he views it the same way, that I got to do more. I got to be more productive. I've got to, you know, make more splash plays, because, you know, the amount that we criticized AJ Hawk as the fifth overall pick for not having more big plays. You can't just be a tackle collector. You have to be more than that, and he is such a freak athlete. He has such great size and speed combination that he's just a guy that you want to be more productive than he is.
We'll take a deeper dive into the good, bad, and ugly of the game coming up on the other side. Jason Wilde will join us each and every Monday night here on Potawatomi Sportsbook Football Monday. Appreciate it, Jason. Thank you so much. We'll check in again next week.
I look forward to it, boys. Take care. Be good.
Yep, you do the same. So I want to dive into that a little bit more. One thing that I saw from Quay Walker on Friday night, and this stood out to me. He didn't make the play, but he was in position to prevent the completion, and that was the first interception. Very early in the game, Xavier McKinney made it. Did you see Quay Walker running stride for stride down the middle of the field with Devontae Smith? That's the kind of thing he can do.
Right.
That is the fastest player on the Eagles roster, and Quay is darn near ahead of him. Again, he picked him up sort of middle of that route, but Smith was humming, and Quay was right there. That ball never should have been thrown had it not been intercepted by McKinney, who made a fantastic read on it. Quay is right there to make a play, or at the very least, deflect it. That's not a completion. That's the kind of stuff he can do. My head turns into, why is he not Micah Parsons? Why is he not more at the line of scrimmage? I think he can do stuff like that. But I think the Packers would believe, have to believe, that he could do something like that in order to put him in that spot. And the fact that they don't makes me wonder if they believe he has got that much talent at the line of scrimmage. To me, he looks like a dude that can run by you or through you. I want to see more of it. I think a lot of people do because of the raw skills and freak athletic ability that he has.
Well, I think the number one thing, Greg, is what I just mentioned. I think you got to get him out of the middle. You got to get him on the weak side. You got to get him outside, wide side of the field. Let him go play football. Right now, you got him in a box, guard, center. He's in that guard, center, guard. He's in that box. A gap, maybe some B gap in there, but that's where he lives. And to me, that limits to what he is all about. He has, and you're talking about, he has so much more range than that, than in there. He needs to be out there so you can exploit him like Micah Parsons, like those kind of players, to do those types of things. He can do that.
Good, bad, and the ugly coming up on the other side. I thought the defensive performance and debut of Jeff Hafley's defense was mostly a flop. I'll get into some of the reasons why. Also, our best electrifying play of the game. We got it for you. Coming up next here, countdown to Monday Night Football as well. Don't forget to set your fantasy rosters. Christian McCaffrey is out for the 49ers. Gary and I back after this.